Hey, good morning, everybody. Are you glad you're here this morning? Yes. Hey, we don't really announce this enough. If I could just say, you just saw a bunch of the young people that walked out a second ago. They weren't storming out because they were offended. They're actually going to Ignite Middle School program. So if you have somebody that's in middle school, second service at the end of the worship set here, they head over to the other building where they have some time of fellowship and some teaching for them. And so Pastor Justin is doing an awesome job. Give him a big hand if you would, if you don't mind. And so I'm glad you're here today. And I'm just going to do a little bit of throwback here. I was thinking the other day, my family has some odd traditions about birthdays, and I don't talk about birthdays much simply because here's the deal is I don't mind birthday presents. I do mind getting older. And so so if you'd like to buy presents, that's all good. But in our family, and all families have different traditions, if I could get just a little bit of more monitor up here, please, that'd be awesome. And so here's the deal is we did some crazy stuff. Everybody knows the happy birthday song that everybody does, and we do that. But in our family, my mother, do you remember back when moms actually used to bake the birthday cake? How about that for throwback? There's kids in this room that wouldn't understand this. Like, we didn't actually have, like, real birthday parties until we were, like, 13. Now, your first birthday. Can somebody just explain that to me? A baby that's 1 year old and they've rented bounce houses and clowns and take out a second mortgage to pay for all that. I mean, it's just crazy, but that's okay. If that's your deal, go on. You know, it's good. I understand you're celebrating what God's doing in your life. I still need to get some more of this on stage, please, if I could. And so it's just pretty awesome what God does in our life and blesses us with some great kids. But when I was a little kid, what would happen for us, my mother would bake a birthday cake. And then, do you remember the happy birthday candies that they were hard candies. You could break a tooth on them. You know, some of you don't remember that, but those of us, if you remember, just say, yeah. And so that means you're probably old. There's little candy candle holders made out of candies, and then everybody would sing. And so our family does some crazy stuff when it comes to singing happy birthday. We sing the happy birthday song, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear, whatever your name is, happy birthday to you. And then, because, you know, we grew up in faith, it would be God's blessings on you. Anybody else do that? God's blessings on you. God's blessings on, what's your name again? God's blessings on you. And then we didn't stop there. Then there was another church version of happy birthday, and we do a happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Jennifer, my niece, is in the room with us, and so then we'd break into, hope you live to be 100, hope you live to be 100, hope you live to be 100, and then 100 more. Happy, happy, happy birthday, happy, happy, happy birthday, happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you. Olé! Yeah, okay, so we evidently learned that at Chi-Chi's. And if you remember Chi-Chi's, you're old. So birthdays, they're just awesome, though. It's a great celebration. Today happens to be a birthday. And it's the celebration of a birthday. So I just want to say to everybody, happy birthday. It happens to be the birthday of the church. And I'm not talking about Christ Church of Orlando. I'm talking about the church of Christ throughout the world. All of God's churches were birthed on this Sunday. 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke and he said that he was going to build a church that the gates of hell could not prevail. It would be powerful, that it would be able to advance the kingdom of God, because Jesus came to teach the kingdom of God, and the church would advance the kingdom of God. And yet we know very well that the church has been flawed all along. Like, there's always been issues. The people inside of the church are imperfect. Can somebody say amen? Like, I've said this before, if you haven't heard me say this, like, you're in a room with some of the most messed up people you've ever been in a room with. But first of all, messed up people need Jesus, you know? And we believe that everybody else is messed up, you know, until it comes up to our own mess up, and then all of a sudden, like, we struggle with that. But Jesus would take very imperfect people, and he would do something that no one had ever even imagined before, that he would build an organization that would advance the kingdom of God through very flawed people. And as he's doing that, he knew that they needed something that they currently did not have. He knew that they needed to have him to be with them. They knew that he needed to somehow be able to not just be centralized in Jerusalem, but somehow there would be a way for him to be with every person to advance this great church. So he told his disciples to go to Jerusalem, and in the first chapter of the book of Acts, and let me talk to you real quickly about that, he told his disciples to go to an upper room and wait there until the Holy Spirit would come. The Holy Spirit would come, and the Holy Spirit would dwell in them. It would be the Spirit of Christ. And we're not just talking about like school spirit, but somehow the God who is spirit, the God who dwells everywhere, would not just come and visit, but he would dwell in us. That Christ would go back to the Father, and he would send his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit would dwell in us. And by his Spirit dwelling in us, he would then be with us to the ends of the earth, and we would accomplish what he had intended for us. We would be the church of the living God. So on 49 days, 50 days after the resurrection, the disciples and a bunch of other folks gathered in an upper room, and they were worshiping in one mind, in one accord, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit descended on them really with miraculous signs. It was like it started with a flash. It was just amazing what God did. And that day, the world began to change. That day, the Holy Spirit came to reside in the hearts of people, in the hearts of men, in the hearts of you and me. And 2,000 years later, we sit in a room because Jesus said his Holy Spirit would come and dwell in them, and they would take that gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the ends of the earth, to all generations, and it's fulfilled in this room today. Pretty awesome. So the awesome thing about that is it wasn't just for them in the upper room. The Bible actually tells us that it was for them, for their children, for their children's children, that there would be a vision, something that they had never heard, never imagined that had taken place before, that there would be a purpose for their life that went way beyond what they were currently doing. So he commissioned them to go into all the world and change the world. And that's what Jesus did. He did it through his disciples, and he's doing it through us. He has a dream. He has a vision for your life. And we've been saying this for a few weeks here, that dream and that vision isn't for you to be comfortable. It's not for you just to get a bigger house or get a bigger car. And I don't think he's against bigger houses and bigger cars. But if that becomes the focus of who we are, we miss the reason why he's given us life. We miss the call that we would have abundant life, that abundant life should flow through us, and it should change the world and bring life to the world. And so God's dream for your life, his vision for your life, is bigger than your dream for your life. His vision for your life is bigger than your vision for your life. Recently, I heard about a survey that was taken among believers. And I'm not talking about non-church people. I'm talking about people in church. And there was a survey that was taking them. If they had limitless money, what would they do, church people? Now, you would think that they would say, well, I'm going to go start an orphanage, or I'm going to go and do something. I'm going to find some need. I'm going to fill it. I'm going to do my best to take the gospel. I'll sponsor missionaries. That's not what they said. They actually said if they had limitless money, they would buy a bigger house. They'd buy a bigger car. They'd find a way to live more comfortably. And let me just tell you, God's vision for your life isn't for you to have a bigger car or a bigger house and live more comfortably. His vision for your life is for you to be a world changer, for you to do something that of significance, so that as you pass through this earth, that they will know that a child of God has been on this earth and that his spirit has dwelt in them. That's what his vision is for your life. And so if you look at the stories in the Bible, all the people the great stories that you talk about the great stories that I talk about in my life, honestly, God's work in their life, their purpose in their life, it was not for them to get a vacation home or for them to get 4 weeks of vacation every year. And we think like that's the stuff we pray about. His plan, his purpose for them, honestly, was often forged in difficult circumstances, and yet their stories are the stories that have changed the world. And so today, I want you to turn with me, and we're going to take a look at a story of a man by the name of Paul. He was previously called Saul, and he had an encounter with God, and his life changed, and consequently, the world changed. Turn with me to Acts, if you would, the 20th chapter. And in Acts, the 20th chapter, we're going to read some amazing stuff that Paul's talking about, the work that God's doing in his life. So let me take a second for those of you who are new here in church. Let me kind of talk to you. If you have your Bible, you can turn. I used to say turn with me. I guess now, because everybody uses their phone Bible, click with me. So click with me. to Acts, the 20th chapter. So there's two places in the Bible. First of all, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and New Covenant, New Testament. The Old Covenant was the story of Christ, the message of God before Christ came. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the stories, the Gospels, that begins the New Testament and the New Covenant. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the stories of what happened with Jesus and his disciples when he was on the earth. And then the book of Acts, it tells the story of the birth and the beginnings of the church. Then from there on, the rest of the New Testament, it really is the work that God's assigned to us, to you and to me in this world, and how he instructs us through his scripture. So Acts, the 20th chapter, we're going to take a look. This is right after the happy birthday birth of the church, Acts 20, verse 22. This man, Paul, he's been commissioned. He's been called to do something. And so here's what he says in verse number 22. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I count my life worth nothing to me if only I might finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So Paul points some stuff out here in this short little passage of what God's doing in his life, and maybe it has some relevance of your life and my life, that there are some places, there's some things that we're going to walk through, just like he did. It might be four phases of faith or four phases of this journey of accomplishing God's vision in our life. And that's what he did in the church that he birthed on the day of Pentecost. And now here we are today. The commission is to us. So here, I want to read Acts 20, verse 22. The very first says, now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. There's a handout in your bulletin. You can write along with me if you would. The first line there says, it's the Spirit's prompting. So he begins to talk to us about the Spirit's prompting. Now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. That phrase is an interesting phrase. It's actually, it comes from two different words. It comes from the word deo and pneuma. Deo means for something to be bound, for something to be tied to it, like it's constrained. Deo means that there's a compulsion behind it. And pneuma, it means a current, a breeze, a breath. It's actually one of the words for the Holy Spirit is the breath of God, that he breathes life into us, just as he breathed on the face of the earth at the beginning of time. And so here it says that he is compelled. He's bound to do this thing that has been breathed into him. He's bound to do this thing that the Holy Spirit has birthed inside of him. And just as God has breathed something into Paul, the apostle, he has breathed his Holy Spirit inside of you, and he has bound you to something. There's a compulsion that he's called you to. There's something that you're tied to that you might not even know or fully understand yet. And I know many of us, what we start to think is it has to do with our job, and we've been talking about this, that it has to do with something that has a financial identity to it. But listen, it all comes back to the kingdom of God. Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God, to set those that are captive free. So if that's his message and he commissions us, that's our message too. And so he compels us, he ties us to that. And here Paul says, I'm compelled by the Spirit. I'm tied to this thing. Like, if I'm not doing this, like, it's always drawing me. It's always, I'm bound to that thing. Even though I'm over here and I'm talking about this, honestly, while I'm doing this, that's still where I'm being pulled in that direction. I got to thinking about, like, what would be an example of this. I mean, have you ever gone to the mall? Like, first of all, I asked for a service. Do they still even have malls? Like, they've just about torn them all down. But remember when you would go to the mall, and honestly, like, when you would walk through the door, there would be something, like, something different. There was something in the atmosphere, and it immediately had your attention. It was Cinnabon. Like, immediately you would walk, like, I didn't care where, like, from the parking lot, I'd open the door and, like, Cinnabon. Like, I know I'm here to buy shoes, but I'm going to Cinnabon. I mean, in the same way, it's the aroma, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's a compulsion, something that compels us, draws us from where we currently are to the place where he's cooking something up in our life, where we're connected to something about him. And it's bigger, honestly, it's bigger than what we're imagining or thinking. And it might not be like some great task, but it's part of a great task. And so he calls us and compels us. Paul says that there's going to be a compulsion. I'm praying that for your life today, that you get aware, that your eyes get opened, that your heart gets sensitized, that the Spirit comes and lives inside of you in such a way that you are compelled to do the work of God in your world. I'm praying that that's fulfilled in your life. I'm praying that that's fulfilled for our church. I'm praying that that's fulfilled for us together in one mind, one accord, in unity, that we are compelled, tied to do what the Spirit draws us to do. Here's the next thing that he says, verse 22 in chapter 20. I'm compelled by the Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. One of the things that I've found in my life is when I follow the Spirit, the Bible actually says in one place that the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it's going. It moves in and it moves out, and you just follow the direction of the Spirit. Here he says, the one certain thing is there's uncertainty. Like, you can't predict it. You can't nail it down. You can't go, okay, I'm ahead of you. I've figured you out. I know where you're going, God. Honestly, when I hear people say, like, I know where he's going. Seriously, what we have to do is we have to say, whatever you're doing, God, I'm doing. I'm just going to follow you wherever you go. Here he says, I don't know what's next. See, we know that the big deal is that the overarching thing is that we're building the kingdom of God. That's our work. That's the call. That's why we've been commissioned. That's why we've been filled with the Spirit. Seriously, let me just talk to you. Our commission is not for us to show off spiritual gifts. Our commission is for us to show off Jesus. Our commission is to change the world by us being filled. And in us being filled, we then go and there's a big thing that God's doing and we become a part of that. And everything we are is a part of that. It's not about us anymore. And here's what he said, like, I'm going to give you the next step, but I might not give you all the steps between here and there. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the turn around the corner is. I don't know what Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday is, but I know this one thing. I might be uncertain about what it looks like, but I know who's guiding me through this thing. And I'm going to trust him. So listen, you might not have it all figured out. Maybe you shouldn't have it all figured out. All you should simply do is say, yes, God, whatever you want from me, I'm going to follow you. Many of us, what we want is we want God to give us all the details. And he doesn't give us the details. He just says, do the next thing I tell you to do. In fact, here's what I'm convinced is I can't get to that thing down there and until I do this thing. Because the thing that I have to do today, I can't do what I have to do tomorrow until I've done what I have to do today. Let me say it again. I can't do the thing that I have to do tomorrow until I do what I have to do today, because this is the step that gets me to that. I have to be able to, sometimes it's a door that I have to walk through now, and that door leads me to another door. Sometimes there's somebody I have to talk to at this place because God, he's put me on an assignment. It's not about my job. It's not about where I'm getting my paycheck. It's about he's assigned me to do something, and I don't fully understand what that looks like, but I know that when I'm on assignment, he's up to something. And so I just have to say, yes, whatever you want me to do. And honestly, I have to tell you, there might be somebody in this place that, like, God has you on a job. He has you in a place. He has you doing something, and you're scratching your head going, like, I don't know exactly why I'm here, but I know he has me here. You have no idea. You might be talking to somebody on your job for just 2 or 3 minutes, and that conversation could be a life-changing conversation for them. And I have to say to you, that's the work of the kingdom of God. So just say yes. It's uncertain what it's going to look like, but be certain in his call towards you. Here's the third thing I'd like to observe out of this passage. In verse number 23, he says, I know that I'm uncertain about what's around the corner, but I do know that wherever I go, only prison and hardships are facing me. Seriously, like, you know, we can hardly get people to follow God, and we're going, it's going to be good. Like, you're going to prosper. You're getting houses and cars and lands. And I mean, honestly, that's kind of where current culture is in church, please. And I'm not knocking everybody in current culture. I know that God prospers us and blesses us. But let me just tell you, Paul's saying, just be prepared for this. In his life, it might be prison. It might be hardship. There might be some place in prison that you have to go so the light of Christ shines in darkness. There might be some place in the most treacherous, dark, dismal place in this world that you have to go by assignment to God to go so that the name of Christ is shown there. It's an assignment that you might not want, but you can understand this, that wherever you go, if you're doing the work of God, you can expect predictable resistance. Predictable resistance. See, Jesus said, we're going to build a church that the gates of hell, he's going to build the church, we're going to do the work, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Do you know what that means? Like, we're coming against darkness. We're coming against things that are determined to be in control. Things that are resistant to goodness. Things that are resistant to the work of God. Things that are they've already given themselves to death and destruction. And that's the only path that they have. And here we come along, and we're supposed to, by the commission of Christ, set the captive free. Listen, the enemy is not going to give any inch of territory up without resistance in your life. I've had so many people even this week say to me, like, I feel like the enemy, like the devil's mad. You could call him whatever you want to. But there have been so many people that have said to me, like, he's just in overtime this week. Can I just tell you, do you know what that means? You're stepping in on his territory. You're getting close to what he wants you to let go of. He wants you to stop moving forward, and you are compelled by Christ to keep going after what he has in his hands. You're compelled by Christ to keep doing the right thing, by shining light, by being filled with the Spirit and proclaiming the gospel through your life over and over again. There's predictable resistance. It's not just you. I mean, Moses in the Old Testament, God told Moses to go down and get the children of Israel out of Egypt. Let me just tell you, there was not a welcome wagon when he walked into town. The resistance was Pharaoh. God gives Joseph a dream that he's going to be, like, his brothers are going to bow down to him. Let me just tell you, they're not happy about this. The resistance is his brothers. They throw him in a pit. He lives in prison for 13 years. There's going to be resistance. How about Nehemiah? God calls Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem after Jerusalem has been destroyed, tells him to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. He feels compelled to go back and do this. And yet even people on his own side start to say, just come down off of there. This work is not going to stand. It's not going to last. And he said, I cannot come down from where I am because I'm compelled to accomplish what God told me to accomplish. In your life, there's going to be people. They might even be friends. They might be family. It might even be church people who resist what God's doing in your life, but you can't stop because you have to advance the kingdom of God that he's assigned you to. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Let me just tell you, there's going to be resistance. If you feel like the Lord's moving on you and telling you, like, ma'am, I got to raise the light in my own household and you're going to have to pray. If you're a dad or a mom and you have that children in your house and say, okay, kids, we're going to pray in 30 minutes. We're going to pray. Get ready. We're going to gather together and pray. You can count in 25 minutes, all hell is going to break loose in your house. Because there's always going to be something that's going to try. You decide, okay, I'm going to get generous. I'm going to give to the poor. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to do something extraordinary with my family. I'm going to go on a missions trip. The second you announce to yourself and into the heavens that you're going to do that, your refrigerator is going to break. Your car is going to break down. Is it only me that happens to? Every time you decide that you're going to move forward, the enemy is going to push back on something. So you have to make your mind up, regardless of the resistance, I'm going through. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. So you have to follow the Spirit's prompting. There's going to be certain uncertainty. There's going to be predictable resistance. And here's the last one. Are you ready? There's going to be what I call uncommon clarity. Acts, the 20th chapter and the 24th verse, he says, I consider my life. I consider the things I have control over, the things that everybody else considers to be the most valuable stuff. I consider all of that to be worthless, nothing to me. If only I might finish this race and complete the task that I have been called to, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's great grace. He gets a clarity that his life is not about himself. He gets a clarity that his reputation is not about himself, that his work, his job is not his assignment, his place, the giftings that he has. None of those things are about himself. That all of that, that I would consider comfort to me and my identity, none of that means anything to me except that I use everything in my disposal to advance the kingdom of Christ. And so, today, let me just challenge you. Like, in the process of your life, if you're feeling like life is empty, if you're feeling like There are some of you, you're here today. Some of you might even be here in church for the first or second time because there's something compelling you, drawing you that there's something else out there. And you've tried to make it family and relationships, and you've tried to make it a job and an identity. And here's what it is. The Spirit of God is calling you to do something that's bigger than what you even think it is. And let me just tell you, and let me just say, it might be God placing you in some place great, some high office, some place, but that's just an assignment. It might be in the PTA, in Winter Garden. It might be talking to somebody in the Kmart, but what he's compelling us to do is not to live our life for any of the things that the world lives their life for, because those things fade away, those things fall apart. He said, live your life for something higher. And so it's not something you can do on your own. It's not something that you should do on your own. And if you were going to have all the money in the world, if you were going to have all the power in the world to do something, would it be to build a bigger house or get a boat or get jet skis or a race car? Or would it be to do something that would represent and change the world by the power of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit? Paul writes to a church in Ephesians, and here's what he says in Ephesians, the third chapter and the 16th verse. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit. Out of His riches He strengthens you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Hey, listen. He wants to dwell in your heart today. He wants your heart to be filled with Him today, that He might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. Somebody say, all the saints. Look at the person sitting next to you and say, that's you. All the saints, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. It's not just to grasp, but are you ready? And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He would dwell in you in fullness. That the power and the Holy Spirit would commission you and call you and take you to the place that He has you assigned. And it wouldn't be by your works or by your talent or by your imagination, but it would be by the work of God, and that you would work in the fullness of the Spirit. I just somehow believe there's someone here today that you need to step in and walk in the fullness of God. Let His Spirit fill you, quicken you, tell you where you're heading, what the next step is going to be. And even though it feels like that there's obstacles in front of you, He's going to empower you to make it through even the obstacles, because it's Him working in you for His kingdom, for His advancement. So I feel like there's somebody here today. He's just calling you. He's compelling you. Open your heart and be filled with His Spirit. And it might not be easy. In fact, it won't be easy. But I read this recently, and I read this actually a long time ago, and I'm going to read it back to you. It's from Sir Francis Drake, and it's a fitting prayer for us today. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little. We have arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. There's someone here today that the Lord is calling you to something that's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to take you away from where you are and that comfortable space, but He's going to take you to a higher assignment filled with His Spirit, advancing His kingdom and His name. Paul said, I consider my life worth nothing except that I might complete this task and testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed with me, if you would. I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I might finish this task, to complete this thing. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that you have an assignment. You have a call. You have a purpose on every person's life, and it goes way beyond an occupation. It goes way beyond some of the things that we think it's assigned to. But even in every place, it's about advancing your kingdom, being filled with your Spirit, for us to be quickened by you, that we would know that it's your name we work in. It's in you we live and move and have our being. And so, Lord, today we consider everything else nothing to us. I consider everything else nothing to me except to advance your kingdom, God. So today I'm wondering if there's somebody here in this room that you along with me would say, every head bowed and every eye closed, that I consider myself, my life, nothing to me except that I would advance the kingdom of God. Maybe there's somebody in this room today, you're not there, but you want to be there. And so, like, you might need somebody just to pray with you that your faith would be increased, but you need to declare it in faith. I want that kind of life, that I would be filled with His Spirit so that nothing else is much to me except to advance the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask you to do something today that... if you're in that place and you feel like the Spirit of God calling you, creating in you, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right now. If you feel like, yes, this is me today, I know that God's pulling me into something, I'm being compelled to something else, just go ahead and raise your hand. Yes, yes, this is where I know there's a direction, there's a place, there's a thing that He's doing in me. I'm just going to do this different from what I did in the first service, because I'm just going to follow the wind of the Spirit this morning. If you just raised your hand, I'm just going to ask you to stand right where you are. If you just raised your hand, be bold. This is the next step. This is it. Go ahead and just stand where you are. Like, you're saying, hey, I know the Spirit's stirring something down inside of me. I know I'm supposed to be going in a direction. I know we have some prayer partners here in the room with us today, and I'm going to ask our prayer partners just to stand with me where you are, and I'm going to get some brothers and sisters. We're going to come around, and we're going to pray with you for these next few moments, and we're going to ask the Lord to do exactly what He said He was going to do, that He's going to fill you with His Holy Spirit, that He's going to give you the power to accomplish what you cannot accomplish. So I need some people of faith from here at Christ Church, some of our prayer partners. Will you stand now and move to our friends that are standing in this room? Will you do that now? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Brothers and sisters, I need for you to move with me this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I need somebody right here. Can you do it, Lori? Come on. Somebody right here with his brother. I'm just gonna. Hey, listen. These people are important to God. Yeah. We're calling for a release of the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, that He's going to come and fill you. He's going to empower you to do what you could not do up to this point. Somebody begin to call out with me right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are asking you that as you release the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, to come and fill your people, to empower them to accomplish your works, to be overcomers, to do what you called them to do, that no weapon formed against them would prosper. Now, in the name of Jesus, we pray that every person in this room is filled with your Spirit, filled with your power. Lord, in the name of Jesus, give clarity. Lord, give the next steps. We're asking you, dear Lord, that even in the face of resistance, that they would not stop until they accomplish what you, the assigned task, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.